Internet Talk Radio, Flame of the Internet.
This is Geek of the Week, and we're talking to Brewster Kahle, who is founder and president of Waze, Inc. Before that, he was one of the chief developers of Waze, the wide area information either system or server, depending on which documents you read. Welcome to Geek of the Week, Brewster.
Thanks, Carl.
What is Waze, actually? What's the proper reverse engineering of that acronym?
It's Wide Area Information Servers. It's an acronym. I can't stand acronyms, but we couldn't come up with anything better. If you can come up with a better name, we'd love to change the name. Acronyms aren't usually the right way to go.
Maybe we'll make that a contest for our listeners.
Please.
What is Waze? Can you give me an overview of what that service is?
Yeah, it's an electronic publishing system. Basically, it's trying to help people find and retrieve information over wires. But I think actually where the excitement of Waze is more helping people create content and share it. Anybody with a personal computer and a telephone should be a publisher. That's the goal of Waze.
Now, how can you be a publisher with Waze? I mean, what is it that it lets you do?
All you need is basically some sort of computer, some communication line, something to say, and a little bit of software, and you can then make it available for whoever wants to see it.
What is Waze, though? Is it a protocol? Is it software? Is it some indexing techniques? Is it the fact that somebody actually has information out there?
Unfortunately, Waze is all of those. It's what many people think of Waze as a protocol. It's a mechanism for people to go out and try to find what it is they're looking for. But you want to make sure that there's stuff to go out there and find. And that's where we're spending most of our time trying to up the grade and multiply the number of sources of information that are available. But the key piece about Waze is the protocol. It's making it so that the clients, anybody can have a PC, a laptop, a little handheld device, all of those things can go out and probe information resources no matter where they are.
But what's the protocol? Is it Z3950 or is it a modification?
There's a bunch of confusion about exactly what is the Waze protocol. In fact, the Waze protocol is about 5 or 6 different standards all packaged into one environment. Z39.50 is important for the information retrieval aspect. It came out of the librarian world, but it's really built to try to help you find card catalogs. Well, most people don't really care about card catalog entries. Yes, they're important, but a lot of people want to get in images, video, radio, all sorts of different types of information. So those standards for document formats come from different groups. We also need a document identifier so that you can go and refer a hypertext link, if you would, to documents that might be in Japan or in somebody's laptop when they're traveling. You need a mechanism for pointing to documents. That's another standard. The query formats, those are other standards. So the Waze protocol is actually probably 4 or 5 different protocols and standards all being used together.
When you say standards, do you mean actual real standards? Are we looking at ISO standards or things that you folks develop to suit your needs?
Some things are ISO standards, some things are ANSI standards, some things are just starting their way through the standards process. Some are actually proprietary formats. For instance, Microsoft Word. There are a lot of Microsoft Word documents being shared with Waze, but Microsoft Word format is not an ISO standard. It's a proprietary standard. We just tried to make sure whenever there were examples of proprietary standards for different parts of the Waze protocol, you had choices. So the only thing, there are no single pieces of the Waze protocol that are terribly locked into either a particular committee in terms of the standards or a particular vendor. That we see is the flexibility and why Waze is going to win, is it's really riding on top of a set of standards to help people make sure that the consumers, the people that are trying to find information, are getting the right stuff from bazillions of sources. And as that evolves, Waze tracks with it.
You developed Waze when you were first at Thinking Machines, and I've always wondered why the manufacturer of a massive parallel processor would develop an information retrieval protocol.
Yes, that's a good question. Thinking Machines, which is best known for connection machines, which are massively parallel machines that have hundreds and thousands of processors in them, why would they do Waze? Well, roll it back a little bit, and the The name of thinking machines is thinking machines for a reason. The idea is to try to make a machine that thinks. Well, that's pretty hard, but that's the real goal of the company. And at least a machine that's going to think has got to know a lot. It doesn't argue that you are able to think if you do know a lot, but at least it's a precursor. So that's a lot of the interest in within thinking machines in trying to do this sort of thing. Basically, what Waze was a mechanism for using massively parallel machines from lots and lots of people. Thinking machines makes the high-end machines, the utilities, the big boy computers. And the only way that thinking machines is going to make lots of money and selling those machines is to have millions and millions of people use them day in, day out. That was the reason why thinking machines did Waze.
So in a fully deployed Waze world, because of all this massive indexing and searching and retrieval, you were hoping at least that you could sell a lot more thinking machines.
Yes. And in fact, thinking machines sold a connection machine to Columbia Law Library. There's an interesting example there where Columbia Law Library has a problem. They're in Manhattan. They can't afford more space. So they tried to evaluate whether it was cheaper to buy a computer or buy another building to store more books. And they basically found a computer was the way to go. So they're scanning huge amounts of information, the Rosenberg trials, the Nuremberg trials, and lots of United Nations data, storing that on computers, running it through optical character recognition, searching based on the optical character recognition, which has got all lots of faults in it. But you find the right document, but you retrieve the pictures of the pages. This mechanism allows us to basically do retrospective conversion of paper at a very inexpensive rate. And what Waze is allowing people to do is, once you've done that, share that resource worldwide.
What kind of storage are we looking at? If you're scanning in an image at, 300 dots an inch, 600 dots an inch? And you're also generating, you're running it through OCR, you've got your text, and then you index that text. And that takes some order of magnitude increase in space over the text itself. Can you give me an idea of how much disk space we're looking at to put a library online like that?
It turns out that by today's standards, not very much. But to give it some hard numbers, what the Adobe people say is if you scan a page and use their new Acrobat product, it's down to 30 to 40K bytes per page to be able to store enough to reconstruct that page so that it looks exactly like what you had before. What we see in other compression technology is more at the sort of 80K, 100K per page. That's still very small. We're at $1,000 per gigabyte, which is what current disk drives cost. The 20 terabytes that people estimate in ASCII that's in the Library of Congress is just $20 million. So that's not very much money in terms of being able to store and retrieve.
It's not a lot in terms of disk space, but one of the things I've noticed with Waze, it's very easy to ask a question like, is there any information out there? And Waze is a great searching technique, and it comes back and says, yes, I have 1 million documents that have information in them. Are we going to be flooding our networks? Do we have the network infrastructure that allows this to be truly a wide area information service?
Well, you asked two good questions there. There's the, how do you do the right filtering? And how do you make sure that you can only read so much per day? So what's the right mechanism to help you filter? Your machine, your client program is going to be spending 24 hours a day trying to find you information and filtering it. And if it's not doing the best job, you're going to go and get somebody else's client that's going to go and filter and find the best information for you.
Is the filtering done at the client or at the server?
Both. And now increasingly in intermediary sites. So the crude things that we're doing today in terms of doing content-based retrieval, finding documents with certain words in them, those are starting to be augmented by human editors that are saying these are the important documents. So when you have a flood of information, you really want to have sometimes human help to be able to find the right documents. That human help can be embodied in servers by people saying, those are the good documents. You might want to think about those documents. And that is another technique that the Waze system is supporting to help people find what they want out of the gigabytes that are out there. The other question you asked is the network infrastructure good enough? And the answer is absolutely. What we're finding is 56 kilobits is plenty for doing text and business graphics. The biggest problem we have is getting reliable networks to people's workstations. we run into all sorts of problems. Novell, you know, networks that aren't compatible, people that have antiquated routers. 56 kilobits is plenty. And in fact, I on my laptop have a 9600 baud modem. I use AppleTalk remote access from it, and I use Waze all the time as a packetized protocol, not a dial-up type interface, but a real graphical user interface. It's great.
You're listening to Geek of the Week. Support for this program is provided by O'Reilly & Associates, recognized worldwide for definitive books on the Internet, Unix, the X-Windows system, and other technical topics. Additional support for Geek of the Week comes from Sun Microsystems. Sun, the network is the computer.